Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here was our assignment from yesterday.
All right.
Mistakes are the portals of discovery. If conditioning did not exist, would mistakes exist? Or would mistakes simply be encounters in awareness where life enlightens with clarity and insight? When we indulge feeling bad for going unconscious and making a mistake, we slam the door on a portal that has just been opened in awareness. We've just refused life's call to an adventure. Today, keep the portal of discovery open by not indulging feeling bad. Record and listen.
All right.
So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Esther.
Hello, Esther.
Hi. What an unexpected pleasure.
Well, good. What have you been seeing?
Well, a couple of things. I don't know exactly where to go. About closing the door, something that dropped in for me, I don't know if it's really a mistake, but what I have been seeing is that, well, I'm struggling with physical issues. It's not, you know, life and death or anything, but very challenging. So I really can't do all kinds of things that I normally am able to do. And I'm finding it very challenging, really, to be kind. And it feels like, I mean, being kind to the body and allowing myself extra moments to just lie down. And I'll typically listen to any kind of recording. But, you know, it's still like, and I know it's conditioning, but I'm like, now I've laid down long enough, so now I can do this or now I can do that. And evidently the body is saying no because, you know, I'm still in.
You're not healing.
No. And I know this is conditioning. I should, between quotes, know better. But that's the back and forth struggle the whole time.
That's right. You do know better. And that's the back and forth struggle. And it really is, it's such a perfect example of that quote, right? Because whether it's sent it or not, conditioning would frame what's going on with you as a mistake. And it's probably something that you did wrong. You know, it's your fault that you're in this situation. So now that you are in this situation, you cannot let that stop you from doing all of the things that you should do, that you would be doing if this hadn't happened. And that whole, we can see that whole orientation to life works really well for ego, but does not work for the person, right? Doesn't work for the person, doesn't work for the body. Did you listen to the call the other day when the woman was talking about breaking her arm?
Yes.
I bet you heard that one, huh?
And
allowing herself to really rest and take care of it, and then the doctor said, oh, wow, you're way ahead of the curve here on healing.
Yes.
We had that whole conversation about that. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing how devoted ego is to having you suffer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm afraid that the bad news here is it's going to be a matter of compassionate discipline that brings no regret, right? That it's hearing those voices. It's really looking to the body, looking to life to help you see what the body needs, making a plan for that, and then following that plan, regardless of what the voices are saying. So it's really facing down the voices that want to make you feel bad because this happened, because this is your experience, because you feel the way you feel. All of that you're meant to see as a mistake and feel bad. It's not. You don't need to. In fact, it's a tremendous opportunity to get to the other side of that conditioning.
Yep.
I'm afraid there's no way about it. No other way to approach it. You've got to rest.
Yeah.
You know, depending on where we are, you know, we could think, oh, well, wouldn't that be wonderful if somebody said to me, okay, well, there's nothing for it, but you just got to rest. We go, oh, I wish somebody would say that to me. And then somebody says it, but we're identified with that system that's in resistance and screaming no, and so it kind of sounds like punishment.
It's very, on the one hand, I can, you know, lie down in the spot. I got to change the spot in the house where I lie down, because where I lie down, I want to listen to either my own recordings or to group or whatever, you know, and to stay here.
Uh-huh.
And the connection's not good. So while I'm saying this, I'm like, I have to find another spot where I can lay down and have a connection so that I can
log in. And so, good. That could be your practice opportunity, right? That's what you're going to do. You're going to create that place for yourself so that you can take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let us know.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Esther. It is one of the hardest places for us to go to, which is rest. And oftentimes the body has to quit on us before we'll actually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for no reason. You know, we talked about that the other day. It's like, you know, if ending world hunger or world peace or...
You're breaking up. I didn't hear what you said. I don't know if
Oh, my goodness.
Me.
And I have not moved a muscle. Oh, my goodness. So if all I was saying is if world peace, if ending world hunger, if the, you know, if those things were resting on what I do every day, then
Sherry,
I would say.
Say that again. World peace, world hunger was?
Wow. Hang on a second here.
Sherry, did I lose you?
Yeah. No? Well, hang on.
Is that better? Is that any better?
Hello?
Wow. I guess I'm gone. I can hear you perfectly and you can't hear me. I don't know what the deal is.
Sherry, I can hear you. Maybe we could...
How about this? Is that any better?
No, I can't hear you at all.
All right. Well,
I'm getting some text to say that apparently everyone else can hear you, and I'm the only one who can't. So,
yeah, I think it might be you, and because I just got a text saying I can hear you both. So I think there's for some reason you're not able to hear me. And I'm not going to take it personally.
Well, I just can't reflect you. I can hear you well now. I just can't reflect you if I can't hear you. So we'll just be, I'll be the operator here and bring on the next caller.
All right, good. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy.
Hello, Judy. What do you see?
So what I saw in the focus was that, you know, whatever I do, conditioning would call it a mistake.
Uh-huh. Whatever. Oh, that's clear. It's not like
if I pick A,
that's a mistake.
Yep.
If
I pick one thing, Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That was a mistake. If you go there, you should have gone to that other place. If you
exactly.
Wow. Well, at least it's consistent, huh?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't do that once in a while you get it right.
No.
Constant.
It's pretty clear. And as an extension of that, if I know that ahead of time, I can recognize that this choice I'm going to make, conditioning is probably going to say it's a mistake.
Uh-huh. And does that give you a little freedom that wasn't there before?
Yes, because whatever I do, it's going to be called a mistake.
Yeah, called a mistake.
So I can't win, right?
That is really significant, isn't it? It's going to be called a mistake. Now, I project there was a time, because this is true for me, that it was perceived as a mistake. You believed it was a mistake and tried to come up with the right answer, the right thing to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now you realize, no, it's the voice in the head that's going to call it a mistake no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. To label it, to kind of process it through its lenses, you know.
Yeah, to get distance on it. So, and especially, as you say, to know ahead of time that this is going to happen.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that before. And now I'm having that awareness now. It's liberating, you know, it's freeing.
Yes, because as you indicate, you kind of play the game with it.
Right?
You know what it is.
Hello, Sherry?
Sherry? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, we'll wait. Probably Sherry got bumped off the call, so just give us a minute. Sherry?
Am I back?
Yes,
you are. Oh, my gosh. Is Mercury, you know, is this some sort of crescendo or something? Maybe the big turn has happened. He's on his way back. Judy, are you still there?
I am. The last thing I heard was you said you can preempt it. I think that's what I heard.
Well, yes, but now that you have seen so clearly how it works, you're getting ready to make a decision, and you know that you can say to yourself, and the voice in my head is going to say it's a mistake. So now that you are aware of that, when it says it, it can be like a joke instead of something you have to take seriously and feel bad about. You're really in charge. Which is a wonderful place to be with ego.
And what's even more fun, I think, is trying perhaps to do something that I know the voices will say is a mistake. Like, I know the voices are going to say, choosing A is a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah, because it's what I want to do. Oh, and by the way, it's my life, right?
Mm.
This life does not belong to a voice in my head that disagrees with me, that I can't make shut up. Such a huge proof that voice in the head is not who we are is exactly what you're saying, that it's taken this long in awareness practice to realize that it's working off of a program and that you can anticipate it. So people really struggle with some sort of belief that voice is me, it speaks for me, it knows better. I don't know what everybody believes about that, but it's the hardest thing for people to get, that it doesn't have anything to do with us. It is a program that operates in conditioned mind that serves the ego. And so getting to the place that you're talking about is huge, right? You have so much distance on it that you can anticipate what it's going to do. And now you're saying, and I'm going to make choices for what I want to do and just kind of poke that system, and because I know what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to that struggle with thinking that it's me.
Oh,
I can definitely.
We are so programmed to believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and yet, Ashwini and I were just talking about this the other day, that old Zen story about the guy who comes to the master and says, I can't pacify my mind. And the master said, well, show it to me. And the guy kind of, you know, does what we all would do, looks around for a minute. He says, I can't find it. Because, of course, everything just went blank, right, with that question. And the master says, there, I've pacified it. And that story is pointing to exactly what you're saying. So you know, it's A or B, and you say, I'm going to pick A, and you watch conditioned mind to see what happens. There's going to be a great big blank there. It's going to be really, really quiet. Yeah, so there. Mm. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have fun with that, huh?
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right, let us know. Next installment.
Yes. Thanks, Judy. And the thing that resonated most for me, Sherry, is that place of not identifying with the me as what I as me, right? That is the hardest place for us to experience the reality of, because the default is so so deeply conditioned.
Yes.
And that exercise,
the assumption.
The assumption is so. And so it is a requirement for us to watch closely, as you pointed out to Judy, to let ourselves experience the lack of identification, for a better way of saying it. Right?
Yes.
That when I'm watching for it, there's a sudden blank, and then you have the experience of what it's like not to be identified with it.
Yes, and to realize, ooh, that me is not me. This is me. Which points to another conversation we were having, that there is an ego me, that voice in the head that we thought was who we are, who talks to us and tells us what we're doing wrong and how it's a mistake. That's the little me of ego. Right, but there's also a capital M me, or a capital M-E me, that is the intelligence that animates. And once we see that place that we were just talking about, the difference there, we realize that what we are, what we actually experience ourselves as, is the awareness that is aware of that process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those magic moments when we get enough distance to realize, I'm what's listening to that. I'm what's seeing that. I'm what's having an experience of that, not that.
Yeah. It is magical. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Laura.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? This is Laura.
Yeah. Hey, Laura.
Hello. I was inspired to put myself in the queue because I found the first conversation really interesting about kind of having something going on with the body and that being seen as a mistake. And that I hadn't been seeing that. I hadn't been looking at sort of the mistake thing through that lens yesterday, but that resonated for me, And I realized that I hadn't experienced the last time, because one the health opportunity that I had is getting frequent colds, and the last time I got sick, something that kind of came out in recording and listening was like, it's okay you have a cold. It's okay you have a health opportunity. Like, it's, you know, that, and that was mm-hmm. just like such a relief to me.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a cold. It's not a crime.
And I'm realizing, hearing that conversation, realizing like, oh, it's because the under the radar belief that I was buying into or whatever was that it was a mistake, that
yeah.
it was not supposed to be happening. And, you know.
And it's proof there's something wrong with you. Because if you were the right person, you wouldn't be having that life experience, right?
Well, yeah. I'd figure it out.
Yes.
Neither.
Yes, yes. mm-hmm. And we can see all of those pieces of information are designed to get you to support ego and look to conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's something wrong with you. This is a mistake. If you were the right person, it wouldn't be happening. You would figure it out and do the right thing. And that the whole thrust of that is get you identified with ego and conditioned mind. And, of course, coincidentally, it is the worst thing that we can do for our immune system except lie there and eat chocolates. Right?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible for the immune system. It's back to what we were talking about with Esther. There's a body trying to heal in spite of just constant infusions of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know when we feel good, and I don't mean physically particularly, but just we feel good. There's energy, we're optimistic, and then we get into a negative situation and we can feel the energy just kind of drains out of our bodies and we don't want to do anything and we've lost our will to live and then there's the body trying to heal in that environment, which is why, of course, the Huber cure is so very popular, right, where we just go to bed and turn our attention to what is joyful and never let our attention waver from it. And the body just, you can feel it saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, and I think that cause it feels like what I'm seeing is that conversation, because I kept having this experience of like, okay, Huber cure, yeah, I'm going to do the Huber cure, I'm going to care for the body, you know, but then I would get sick and just feel this, like, panic, you know, of like, oh,
yeah.
God, and it was just, so I feel like I'm just connecting up now. It's like, oh, like, because, like, you know, when I had that experience the last time, it was like, yeah, I just started, I was like, it was the same day we were practicing with what now, so I was like, what now? Oh, I'm going to go lie down, you know, like, that's just what's there when you're present, and so just
right.
see, like, oh, that, and I just couldn't understand, like, why, like there, it was just like this feeling of, like, just, like, ick, and, like, something is really wrong, and so it's just powerful to be like, oh, you know, like, it was stopping me from getting to that place, because in a way, in order to just lie down and be like enjoy, you have to be in accept. You know, it's like you can't.
Oh yeah.
That mistake story is that was my experience of like lying down in this panic and just being like ah. Like,
right, which is a real coup for ego, right? Yeah. Go ahead, go to bed, and then you have 110% of attention to be focused on what's wrong with you and how this is a mistake. And let's run through all the things you need to do at work that aren't getting done. And how many times you've been there and what your future is going to be like. And, oh, yeah, what a party. It's no wonder people just dope themselves up and get up and keep going, right? Because at least they're distracted in part from those voices. And, of course, it's the worst thing we can do for the body. And then, of course, the body eventually, as we know, the body eventually just gives out because it can't do that anymore. And And then that's the big mistake. Now mm-hmm. I love it when people say, my body has betrayed me. It's like mm-hmm. it almost mm-hmm. always comes from a person who has mistreated their body for decades, right? It's yeah. very sad. It is real that mm-hmm. that is intensely sad, tragic, we could say, conditioning, because it hurts people at such a deep level.
Hmm. Yeah, and I was rereading The Big Bamboozle, and it sort of becomes a me versus life. You know, if it's a mistake, then it's, you know, yeah, my body's betrayed me. Life has betrayed me. Life has, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. When, in fact, if we move to that place of, oh, this is fabulous, I get to just lie here and infuse myself with goodness and joy and gratitude and happiness for whatever period of time, it's kind of like insomnia. You know, it starts mm. lasting not nearly as long as we would like it to last.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. Sure, we have about 3 minutes. Shall I try to squeeze in a caller, or shall we go to the assignment?
You know, I think we should go to the assignment, because otherwise okay. we know we're not going to be able to keep to time. And I think, you know, we want to yes. honor our time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love this one. If you want a guarantee, buy a toaster.
You still won't get much of a guarantee, but
exactly. You get an idea of a guarantee, which is what
right.
the assignment is about. Like everything manufactured in conditioned mind, a guarantee is a lie. Nothing in life is guaranteed. The fact that life is flux elicits inquiry, curiosity, wonder, and joy when we're in the moment. But mm-hmm. as soon as we identify with the illusion of a self separate from life, the notion of an ever-changing world is scary. Mm-hmm. The miracle is that we have a choice. We can opt for a no-guarantees adventure on life's roller coaster, or elect to be deluded by ego's promises of security. Today, drop any voice that claims to know, that promises safety, or wants a guarantee. Record and listen.
What fun, huh? You know, the thing that that I really like in that is our opportunity to do a little review of, just get a sense of the number of times ego has promised something and couldn't deliver on that promise.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, we're tempted today to buy into one of its promises of safety and guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, everyone, and thank you, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, go happy. Treasure yourself.